So Luke 8, the parable of the sower. So this is the first major parable that Jesus told, and it appears in all three of the synoptic gospels. It appears in Matthew, in Mark, and here in Luke. And the context is that Jesus is well into what we call his Galilean ministry. And he's going through his phase of great popularity. Huge crowds are following him. Everybody loved Jesus at this point. He's at the height of his popularity. And so Jesus tells this parable about how we respond to God's word, God's logos to us. How we respond to Jesus, actually. Well, of course, we all love Jesus, don't we? Everybody loves Jesus. But how do we really respond to Jesus when we dig beneath the surface? That's what this parable of the sower speaks into. So the story is about a farmer. The farmer sowing his seed on the ground. And he is not a careful farmer, because he's throwing this seed all over the place. He's a bit reckless with his seed. I don't know whether it was cheap seed and he couldn't care less, or he's a wealthy farmer and he just couldn't care less, but he's chucking it everywhere. And it lands on a variety of different soils. So it lands on the path, and that's a hopeless place for seed to land because the birds just come and eat it. It lands on the stony ground, and there it shoots up, but there's no depth, so it doesn't last any time. It lands on the thorny soil, although it's full of weeds, and there it grows, but the weeds are too strong. And they choke the plant and it never comes to maturity. And then it lands on the good soil and it bears good fruit, 100-fold what is sown. And I think of some of the stories that we've heard this evening of Church 5 now going out onto the Grange, of Oakley expanding beyond its physical constraints, of Oakley's youth work, of the Healing on the Streets team. The fruit, 100-fold what is sown, the good soil. Well, all the crowds had gathered, and Jesus tells them this story, and he tells it just as it is. He doesn't explain it at all, and I guess they're all just scratching their heads thinking, it's a story about a sower. We don't know what it means. And then when Jesus is with his disciples, he explains it to them. Thanks be to God, we are listening in to that explanation. We are party to Jesus' explanation. And so he says, right, the farmer is the one who brings the message. And in the case of Luke 8, the one who brings the message is Jesus. In the case of the joint celebration, I am the one who brings the message, thanks be to God, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I pray. So that's the farmer. The seed is the message. The seed is the word. In Greek, it's the logos. The word of God. By this, we don't just mean the preacher's word. We don't just mean my words. We mean what God is doing in our hearts. What God is speaking to you now. God's word to you. The seed is the word that Jesus is planting in your heart tonight. Of course, in John's gospel, John calls Jesus the Word, doesn't he? So the Word is Jesus coming to you tonight, right now. What is Jesus saying to you now? And then the soil is our hearts. And depending on the condition of your heart, we will either respond to what Jesus is saying to you in this moment, or when, in one way or another, we will reject it. This parable tells us that what people are like. It tells us what we are like. Because Jesus comes knocking at the door. And how are we going to respond? And we're probably going to respond in one of four ways. So the first way, Jesus comes knocking on the door. And you respond by thinking, oh no, it's Jesus. I'll pretend to be out. I mean, who hasn't done that? We've all seen that really awkward neighbor that we don't want to speak to, and they come knocking on the door, they ring the bell, and think, oh, I'll just hide, you know. I know I've done it. God forgive me. oh, Jesus is coming. I can't deal with Jesus right now. I'll just pretend to be out. I'll avoid him. There's a story of a pastor who goes to visit one of his female members of his church, and he goes up to her door, and he knocks on the door. And you know what? He hears some movement inside. And he thinks, oh, they're in. But no one comes to the door. So he takes out a visiting card, and he writes on the visiting card, Revelation 3:20, and he posts it through the door. And the lady inside, she gets the card, and she thinks, oh, God, she goes and looks it up. And Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in. Next Sunday at the church, the woman sidles up to the pastor, and she gets out a visiting card and gives it to him. And he looks on it, and on it is written, Revelation 3:10. And she thinks, oh, better go and look that up. She looks it up, and Revelation 3:10 says, I heard you in the garden, but I was naked, so I hid myself. So, I mean, we remember the Garden of Eden, don't we? Where Adam and Eve were in the garden and they realized they were naked, and God came to the garden and he went round calling, Adam, Adam, where are you? And they'd gone and hidden. They'd gone and hidden. I don't want to see God. I don't want to be found out. Now, I expect because you are here in church, you're thinking, thanks, thank God, this doesn't apply to me because I'm here. I'm not running away. But what is Jesus' word to you tonight? It might be that you need to radically change your lifestyle. It might be that the way you are living is not in accord with God's purposes for you. It's not godly. And actually, you have to change. It might be that God is wanting to call you into something which is so challenging, you just don't want to go there. How do you react to that? Jesus is knocking on the door. And I don't think that we can stand behind the church-going smokescreen. What is Jesus' word to you today? perhaps he's speaking into an area of your life that is not completely surrendered to him. And he might be asking you today, he's challenging you over your career, over your money or your possessions, over your sex life, over your thought life, the things you dream about, over your relationships, over your ambitions, your desire for status. Lord recently challenged me about forgiving someone who had really quite hurt me. And I said to her, look, but you know, I got hurt. I'm the victim here. I want to wallow in a bit of self-pity. I want to hide away from the Word of God coming to me. How many of us feel our hearts running for cover? We don't even want to go there. Adam, where are you, Adam? So that's the path soil. That's when our hearts are like the path. But Jesus comes knocking on the door. And there is a second soil. And this is the stony ground soil. And we open the door. We say, oh, Jesus, so glad to see you. Lovely. Come in to the hall. You hear Jesus calling. His word breaks into your heart. And you say yes to Jesus. The seed has gone in, but it hasn't gone in very deep. And then it's not nourished or watered. Jane and I were around visiting my mother on Friday. My mother's staying in a local residential home. And so we were around there there was a plant in the corner, and I thought, I better check that the plant doesn't need watering. So I went over to the plant, and sure enough, it was absolutely bone dry, desert dry, this plant. So I got it out, and I thought, I better fill this up, really soak this, because it's absolutely bone dry. And then Jane said, Henry, it's an artificial plant. I did feel a bit of an idiot. Anyway, the words of Jesus are not artificial words. They are real. They are alive. They need watering. They need nurturing in our hearts. You know, there are loads of people who come to St. Barnabas and Oakley and Church at Five, and they arrive and they're welcome. But after a while, we don't see them again. They arrive, but they don't stay. And maybe they've moved on. Maybe they've gone to another church. Praise God if they have. But many haven't. Why is that? Because the seed went into their heart. You know, maybe they came a few times. Maybe they came for a few months. And then it died. What about you? What about the stuff in your life? What about the word of God to you now? And you say yes, yes. But you haven't done anything about it. And so now your yes is fading. And eventually that yes somehow ends up as a no. Jesus told a parable about two sons. And the father asked his two sons to come out into the vineyard and help with the work in the vineyard. And one son says, no, don't want to do that. But then after a while, he goes out and works in the vineyard anyway, just as his father asked him. And then the other son says, yes, Dad, yes, I'll come and help. And then he carries on playing on his PlayStation. And he doesn't go. Which of the two sons followed Jesus? You see, we can say yes, but sometimes our yes fades when we don't water it, and it ends up being a no. What are you going to do with the word that Jesus is speaking to you? What are you going to do, not now, but what are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do Wednesday? What are you going to do in 2020? Jesus comes knocking on the door. And now we've got the thorny ground. And Jesus comes in. He comes in. And you say, oh, welcome, Jesus. Mind where you tread. There's a lot of stuff around. I'm a bit busy right now, Jesus, but just take a seat over there. Well, you'll have to move some stuff, but take a seat over there and I'll get to you eventually. Because you've heard Jesus speak to you, but there's so much else on. I mean, isn't there so much else on? God, so much. You know, I've got a job. You know, I've got to earn money. I've got a career. Oh, I'm getting a promotion. A holiday. I've got to book a holiday. I love going on a holiday. There's that girlfriend. She takes a lot of time and money. I've got this new gizmo. You know, I've got this new thing it needs playing with. I've got dreams to pursue. So much stuff. Many of us, most of us, are like this. We really want Jesus in our lives. In fact, we want him central in our lives. But there's all this other stuff. And Jesus has to end up just taking his turn with all the other stuff in our lives. And you know what? Jesus is not satisfied in taking his turn. Either he is Lord of our lives, or sooner or later, he's not in our lives at all. There are no half measures with Jesus. Our lives are so crowded, so busy, and not all of that busyness is good. And not all of it is what Jesus wants. And sometimes we literally crowd him out of our lives. We don't want to, but it somehow happens. Sometimes, and this is really ironic, we crowd him out with church activity. We're so busy doing church that we haven't got time for Jesus. You know, I work for the church. And I'm busy, busy, busy working for the church, working for the kingdom. So easy to crowd Jesus out. What is the stuff in your life now that is crowding Jesus out? He wants more space in your life. Jesus comes knocking on the door. We open the door. We welcome him into every room in our house. We let him be Lord. We let him reign. Total surrender. That's the good side. Total surrender. It's going to cost. It's not always going to be comfortable. Jesus is going to lead you to places that of your own volition you would not choose to go. He is going to ask you to do things and to not do things that would not be your preferences. And he says to you, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear.